listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to this station on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. You can also find this episode of War Eagle Weekly and all previous ones on our podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. This show is brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road, right across from Five Flags Speedway, and brought to you by my co-host here, Bill Clark. Austin Price also here in the studio with you. Bill, War Eagle, and good morning, or at least as good of a morning as we can have. I know you're coming off of that sickness you had last week, but also we've been dealing with some snow troubles these past couple days.
Yeah, good morning, War Eagle. Still a little scratchy with the voice, getting over the cold. And then, of course, it turns around and it snows 12 inches in my front yard in the bar. But, you know, welcome back to the program. And, War Eagle, we got a little bit to talk about here and some very important games to look forward to.
Yes, we do. Because I know you and I were just kind of, we always shoot the breeze right before we start the show every Thursday. And we were talking about there's some good progressions with Auburn football, a lot of some hype already surrounding their upcoming season with some of their transfer grabs. But also, we had some stuff regarding women's basketball. You got a girl from China that she's been lighting up the nation already. And we saw the narrow win over Georgia without Jani Broome. We'll talk about the positives and the negatives of that. And then we've got Tennessee and LSU on the horizon. So, man, the world is your oyster. What do you want to talk about first?
Well, let's talk real quick about the transfer portal and the Auburn football program. Auburn is still looking to pick up some more players out of the transfer portal. There was some hype on one of the quarterback chat rooms that I saw about where they were ranking the preseason quarterbacks for next season.
Right.
And they had Jackson Arnold as a top 10 quarterback. They actually had him as number 10. The metrics that they were using, I'm not 100% sure about, but, you know, they most of the metrics had to deal with not just that particular athlete, but also the depth in the quarterback room and the type of offense that they were running was part of what they brought into their equation to give those rankings. I'm not exactly sure how to look at that. I think that's more geared toward the people who want to bet on the betting lines or come up with fantasy, rankings for the fantasy points and that kind of stuff. So I'm not going to put a whole lot of stock in that. I mean, the guy hasn't even handled a football at Auburn yet.
Right.
So I'm not sure you can put a whole lot of stock in that. But I mean, it does speak to his possibility.
Yeah, his potential.
Yeah, he's – I mean, we talked about it before. His basement is as high as some players' ceiling. And, you know, he was a five-star recruit out of high school. He's definitely a dual-threat quarterback. He's got 2 years of eligibility left, so there's a whole lot of upside.
Right.
So I'm gonna take the silver lining part out of that and run with it. But just keep in the back of my mind that the purpose for that particular ranking at this particular time before the season just really doesn't mean a whole lot yet until we can. I want to see how he looks come spring. When they have their spring A-Day game. I want to see that'll tell us a whole lot more about where they're going with him and how he's going to look on the field with Auburn. Of course, we're expecting a whole lot more things out of him this coming season than what we had last season.
Right.
But, you know, there's still a lot of upside there with that. Other than that, they're still, plugging a few of the holes that are left. I'm very happy with the people that they've picked up out of the portal. Particularly the two offensive tackles. That was a huge, huge thing. And then, of course, getting the number one wide receiver out of the portal and getting his roommate, the safety, at the same time from Georgia Tech.
Right.
And then, of course, the stud from Wake Forest.
Yeah.
We had KSL last year with his 1 year of eligibility left, and they have absolutely plugged in that hole with two guys that can compete for the job. And make everybody else on the team better at the same time.
Right.
So, a lot of upside. Looking forward to that. The football program, I think, is going in the right direction. It's going to have to because the coach is definitely going to be on the hot seat. You know, this is year three, And, you know, we haven't made a bowl game in 2 years, and Auburn fans get a little jumpy after that, especially the way we played in the conference and the way, you know, the losing games we should have won.
Mm-hmm.
The Cal game being the one that really comes to mind. And then, of course, you know, always the performance in the Alabama-Auburn game.
That's pivotal, yeah.
I mean, we can live with a great effort and falling just a little bit short like we did 2 years ago with that last-minute Hail Mary in the corner of the end zone to win. You know, that's tolerable. It's not fun, but it's tolerable.
Right, because you went toe-to-toe with them.
Yeah, but we can't be non-competitive against our in-state rival. I mean, that I don't care what kind of season you put together. If you do that 2 or 3 years in a row, it's you're definitely looking for a new job.
Well, especially with Alabama, this was their worst team in years. They made multiple mistakes in that game, had turnover trouble that Auburn didn't capitalize much on. So, yeah, I get you 100%. That was not a great performance by Alabama. If anything, I think after that huge loss to Oklahoma, their performance against Auburn was it was even worse when it came to their playoff worthiness, and Auburn still lost by double digits. So I'm with you 100%. You got to look better against them. I've seen people already criticizing Hugh Freeze. Maybe we're biased. Maybe I'm willing to give him another chance just because of how much I've heard about the potential next year. And I know that he saw some success at Ole Miss. But I don't know. I think if he can't succeed over this next year or two, then we really need to start having that conversation. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you. Bill, you had mentioned there's this girl. She is on the women's basketball team. Because we're, of course, our main subject matter as of recently has been Auburn men's basketball, and it will be throughout the majority of this program today. But on the women's side, there is this girl you told me, and I hadn't heard of her before, but she is from China, correct? And she's just popping off already.
Yeah, I'm trying to look up her name. I don't know that much about her.
Right.
But, I mean, she's hard to miss because she's got blonde hair, and I'm pretty sure she's from China. And, oh, man, I got myself caught here.
No, I'll see if I can pull it up. But, no, because Auburn women's basketball, first of all, is they're not looking so hot. They're barely positive on the season, 10-9 right now. But I can pull up the roster here and see how some of these statistical leaders are doing. Auburn currently 14th. In SEC play, and I think I found her name. I'm not trying to be insensitive here, but this looks like a Chinese woman's name. Yating Dung Dang?
That sounds right. There was a lot of splash around bringing her onto the team. And they've seen some success with her.
Right.
But I really haven't been following that program very much, you know, because there's so much hype going on around the men's program now.
And they are struggling. Auburn women are looking kind of rough right now. But, yeah, she's a 6-foot freshman out of Hunan, China. And, yeah, she's averaging 6.5 points a game, rebound a game. So she's putting up some role player numbers. But, hey, you're a freshman. You're playing big competition. Obviously, you're a bit out of your comfort zone. Going to have some growing pains that are going to take some getting used to. So it's not a bad start at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's going to have the spotlight on her just because of the novelty of it. But she's obviously stepping up. I mean, if she's contributing as a freshman and getting floor time and actually making scoring points and having an impact on the way the team performs, I don't see a downside to that at all.
No, absolutely not.
And it brings that's the kind of thing that's going to bring more fans to the ball games as well.
Yeah, well, because everybody loves an underdog story. Everybody likes someone that's easy to cheer for, easy to root for. That was always my problem with Indiana's new head coach on the football scene. What's his name? Kurt Cignetti. Dude was a jerk. He made Indiana football unlikable. I don't know how you do that. It takes a special kind of arrogance to do that. So people like someone who's not arrogant. People like someone who is the underdog. As I said, you're having to overcome some adversity. You're having to be triumphant. Coming from a completely different part of the world, being in a completely unfamiliar environment, and being able to perform. That's awesome. As you said, fans are going to love that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you think about it. When she has that, quote, breakout game where she, you know, plays out of her shoes and scores a lot of points, it's a big contribution to the team effort. Think about all the fans that are going to be able to say, hey, I was there. I saw it. You know? That's what that brings to the program. And with the type of year they're having, that's what they need. They need something like that to spark them, get them going.
Right.
And now that they're in league play, especially.
I'm looking at her game log right now. She's only played a couple games. So the averages I mentioned earlier aren't really a fair shot because it's not like she's played the whole season. But in her two performances, she was part of the blowout loss to a ranked Texas. She probably just came in just to get some minutes. Didn't do much with that. But on January 19th, so this was this last Sunday, against Missouri, it was a 15-point win. Now, this is phenomenal. In 15 minutes, she had 13 points, 2 rebounds, an assist, and a block. 13 points in 15 minutes?
And she's a freshman.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? That's phenomenal. And we're talking about a 15-point win here, so those are some game-changing scores. That's not some numbers to scoff at, especially in the time in which she amassed that stat line. So 100% congratulations to her. And that is, we've been talking about is the depth on Auburn men's basketball and the transfer portal for Auburn football and how much potential there is going forward. That is a huge sign of potential for Auburn women's basketball in a time where they need it. So that's awesome. Just about 10:14 here. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. We'll take a quick break. When we return, we're going to get to Auburn men's basketball just like I promised we would. Barely beat Georgia. I'm glad I was wrong, but my goodness, I was right about it being a close game. Georgia falls to Auburn 70-68, and as I said, there's a very conflicting bag of emotions to get into when it comes to approaching that result. So we got details on that and more coming up.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coachman Ford Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coachman Ford Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code EXIT25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code EXIT25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code EXIT25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the FHSAA and the Florida Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Studer Community Institute is a nonprofit committed to making our community a better place to live by building brains, building jobs, and building community. Building Brains are our efforts to inform and empower parents on the importance of early brain development. Building Jobs includes programs to help local entrepreneurs succeed, along with skills training opportunities for business leaders. It all builds community, including many partnerships that enhance our vision of making Pensacola the best place to live in the world. Get involved by visiting our website, studeri.org.
Are you ready for the ultimate sports listening experience?
Get in the game
with ESPN Pensacola, the premier sports talk radio station on 1330 AM and 99.1 FM. We're your ticket to the world of sports, delivering nonstop coverage of your favorite teams, athletes, and leagues. From the biggest headlines to the underdog stories, we bring you the thrill of the victory and the agony of defeat. So don't miss out on the action. Tune in to ESPN Pensacola and be part of the sports conversation that's taking Pensacola by storm.
Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. Weekdays 9 to 10 on ESPN Pensacola 1330 AM 99.1 FM.
Listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coaching for Steakhouse and my co-host Bill Clark. Austin Price also here with you. All right, you can listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Bill, we got to get into this here. I was talking a lot about this Georgia game and how it was going to be a big challenge for Auburn. And you know, I thought this was going to be a game that tripped y'all up because everything was against you. You were missing Jani Broom. It was a ranked conference rival on the road. Hit Broom's replacement, Chaney Johnson. He looked phenomenal against Mississippi State, laid an egg this game. Terrible day from the field. Unimpressive free throw shooting. Blew a significant lead. Faced a Bulldog squad that was neck and neck with them in several statistical categories. Nothing went your way. And you won 70-68.
Yeah, it was a fantastic team effort.
I was about to say, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, we've talked about it before in previous programs. Auburn's bench and their depth. Auburn literally can field two starting five-man squads
right,
based on their roster. And that showed up in this game when they needed it the most because, obviously, Jani Broom was injured. It was nice to see him up walking around in an air cast, putting weight on his ankle, which makes me feel a lot better about the fact that his injury is not near as severe as it originally looked. If you watched it when that happened, it looked bad. It looked like it could be one of those potentially season-ending type, you know, injuries, especially if he tore something. But they're saying no tears, no surgery required, you know, and he's rehabbing. He's up walking around putting weight on it. And he turned into the biggest cheerleader on the bench that you could have, which is exactly what he needed to do. He needed to focus that energy back to the rest of his teammates, which he did very well. And like you say, his replacement, Chaney Johnson, he had a fantastic game against Mississippi State. He had a double-double. So, I mean, you know, you had Jani Broom who consistently was having double-doubles, and his replacement has a double-double, and everybody else played as well or better around him to make it a nice team effort and a huge win, obviously 22 points. But, I mean, when you go to Georgia, Georgia ranked, and you go to their house to play a game against them on their court with their fan base, I mean, you could see their fan base. They decked themselves out just like Auburn does.
Oh, yeah, Georgia's notorious for it.
All the face paint, all the costumes, all the shenanigans.
The Raiders, but red.
Yeah. you know, they're wearing the same stuff you see them wear when they're rooting on the football team. You know, it looks like the same people. You just lifted them up out of the football stadium and dropped them in the basketball arena.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, it's a hostile place to go. They really stepped up. I don't know what to say. You know, Chaney Johnson, like you say, he didn't have as good a performance in this game. I don't think he played bad. They were double-teaming him a lot because they knew he's the guy that's filling the number five hole that that Janiah left. Cardwell slid into that position more than Chaney Johnson did, and Chaney Johnson backfilled where Cardwell would have normally been. Cardwell had a great game.
He did. Phenomenal game.
You know, he's not a point scorer, but he is unbelievable on the defensive side. And that's where Auburn shined in this game. They fell off a little bit on the offense. There was only, three players with double-digit points. But you had eight players in double-digit minutes on the floor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you had two starting squads out there, each getting double digits on the floor and all of them contributing. It was just a team effort. They shut Georgia down when they needed to. Auburn did jump out to, I think, like you said, you and I talked about earlier, I think it was a 17 or 18-point lead. And then Georgia went on like a 9-0 run.
Yeah.
Closed the gap. And then that it kind of stayed that way all the way to the end. Some of the way the basketball bounced and some of the things that happened right there at the end of the game were unbelievable. You know, the Auburn inbound, and then they trapped him in the corner, and we turned the ball over with giving them a possession on their end of the court with 16 seconds to go, and then they inbound it and can't do anything with it, and it gets outbounded again with, I think there was 0.6 seconds left or 0.3 seconds left. And even the announcer said the only option that they have is to inbound the ball and tip it before the clock expires.
Right.
And they did that. And it hit the rim, and it just hit the wrong side of the rim, didn't go in. I mean, it literally came down to a tip in with 0.3 seconds to go to win the game. So it was a great victory. Kept Auburn undefeated in SEC play. Kept us at one loss.
Only loss is by 6 to Duke.
Yep, and Auburn is undisputably and unanimously the number one team in the NCAA. All 62 first-place votes. And that's without Janiah Broom in the lineup. So, you know, the voters recognize that this squad has the it factor, whether Janiah Broom's on the floor or not. Janiah Broom just makes it even more of an it factor.
Yeah. You're winning by 22 instead of just 2.
And the last couple of days, I've been trying to find as much information as I can on his status. They're not saying a whole lot, and I'm sure you and I had talked about it before we went on the air, that a lot of that may have to do with keep Tennessee guessing as to whether or not he's going to start.
Right.
Or potentially play even if he doesn't start. So it makes them maybe have to practice for him, whether he's going to be there or not, which may change the way they look at the going into this game. But going into Saturday's game, Auburn bringing the Tennessee Vols into the Auburn Arena. It's a 7 p.m. game. This is going to be the game. I mean, this is the game that everybody circled, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And that was when Tennessee was ranked number one. So it's still a big game, even though Tennessee's not ranked number one anymore. It would be phenomenal if Auburn could run the table, conference play, and go undefeated in the conference. It's unlikely. I mean, even I'm smart enough to know that as good as this basketball team is, that is very, very hard to do considering how many teams are ranked in the SEC.
Yeah,
it's a gauntlet.
It's tough in a weak conference. The SEC has been phenomenal. I think Ole Miss is one of the more underdog teams in the conference. I know Texas A&M's been good. Mississippi State's been good. Tennessee's obviously great. Georgia's been ranked, and that's why, you know, you struggled with them a bit. A lot of winning teams, even the ones that aren't in the rankings or haven't been in that conversation. Oklahoma was floating around the top 25. I don't know if they're officially ranked right now. It is a brutal, brutal conference. And that is where team play matters the most. It matters all the more when your star is missing, and that's what makes this game so huge. Beating Georgia right before this Tennessee game, I think it's the oomph you needed. You're back home. I think you may be out for blood, you know, because there was a time where Tennessee, as you said, was number one. And Auburn probably didn't like that too much. But I love the fact that you were able to handle this team, I think, by that metric as far as, and I told you this before we went live, as far as how much adversity you had to overcome, as far as how you worked as a unit, I think this is one of your most telling wins of the season. I don't care that you only won by two. So to have that before you take on a team like the Vols, that needs to strike some fear into their hearts.
Well, I mean, yeah, we talked about Chaney Johnson, this not being the type of game he had the game previous.
Right.
The other people around him stepped up. Miles Kelly had 13 points, and he was hot.
Yep.
Chad Baker-Mazzara was scoring. The hot player on our team was Tahad Pettiford. He had 24 points, and he was – I think he was – at one time he was 4 for 5 from three-point range. And he was hitting them from the logo. He wasn't from the top of the three-point arc. It was almost to the center logo.
Deep threes, yeah.
Yeah, real NBA-type threes. And you know, he's a freshman.
Right.
So the cool thing about this team is the coaches have such a great ability to make everybody else play up a level when they need to.
Right.
We have adversity. We lose our number one guy. Everybody else steps up and contributes. Maybe not all in the same game, but they all contribute enough to keep the team playing at the level that they're playing at. And it's going to be really tough. I mean, we're already talking about this Saturday, number 6 Tennessee coming to Auburn. And then the next three Saturdays are all against ranked teams. And Auburn is going to have our local Greater Pensacola Auburn Club. We're going to have watch parties for these Saturday games. We're going to have a watch party for this week against Tennessee. And then the next Saturday is Auburn Ole Miss, which Ole Miss is ranked number 16, and it's at Ole Miss.
Right.
And then Florida comes to Auburn the Saturday after that, and Auburn's ranked number 5. So, you know, we've got the number 6.
Five,
yeah,
man.
The number 6, the number 16, and the number 5 team all coming up in the next three weekends.
Gosh.
That's that gauntlet. But you can't overlook the other teams either. We're playing LSU on Wednesday in between there, and we're also playing Oklahoma on the Tuesday in between those other two games.
And you go on the road for LSU. Do you go on the road for Oklahoma?
No, we're at home with Oklahoma. We're on the road with LSU.
All right.
So SEC road games, I don't care what your records are. It's the Georgia game showed you. It's tough to do. You can statistically be the best team in the country, and you go to another team's venue.
Yeah.
You gotta step up and you gotta play.
Now, I think it was the game that Jani Broome hurt his ankle in. South Carolina, you ended up barely winning that game. That was on the road. You had a big lead on Texas. Texas came back to make it look close. That was on the road. Yeah. So, yeah, Auburn should know better than anybody that playing on the road is pretty difficult. And it is. But if anyone can handle it, I've said it once this season, I've said it a million times.
Well, Tennessee found it out when they went to Florida.
Oh, believe me. It's 10:30 here. We're going to be touching more on that in the next segment. Tennessee has not – the road has done them no favors. But, yeah, Auburn – you know, if I've said it once, I've said it a million times. This team, if anyone can handle the adversity and the gauntlet that we keep talking about, it is this team. You mentioned Tahad Pettiford, 24 points. He also had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. And Dylan Cardwell, I told you earlier, he was putting up like Dennis Rodman numbers. He only had 2 points, but we're talking 7 rebounds, 2 steals, 4 blocks. He's just shutting down the Bulldogs, so that was huge for them. So, yeah, I cannot wait to see how this team welcomes Tennessee, a team that has also struggled on the road, to Auburn. I can't wait for that. 10:31 here. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coach & Four Steakhouse and my co-host, Bill Clark.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi,
I'm Rachel with Cochin Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Cochin Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
The entire South is headed to the Gulf Coast for the ground-pounding thunder of PCA Rodeo Finals. The PCA Finals will rock the foundation of the Mississippi Gulf Coast Coliseum January 30th through February 2nd, presented by Margaritaville Resort Biloxi and Southeast Roofing and Construction. You'll see the best in bareback and saddleback riding, calf and team roping, barrel racing, steer wrestling, and the greatest 8 seconds in rodeo, bull riding. The PCA Finals, January 30th through February 2nd in Biloxi. Get your tickets online at Ticketmaster.com.
Children, senior citizens, and families right here in Northwest Florida are hungry. And for more than 40 years, Mana Food Bank has provided food assistance to neighbors in need. Mana distributes healthy groceries through its emergency food assistance pantry, plus 17 food security programs with 22 community partners. For more information, please visit manahelps.org or call 850-432-2053. Mana, moving our neighbors in need from hunger to hope.
Here are the ESPN Pensacola 1330 AM 99.1 FM contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other contest prize. Prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning and must be 18 years of age or older to win. For a complete list of rules, visit ESPNPensacola.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Clarkson, and I've toured the country dozens of times, and there's one thing I see everywhere, childhood hunger. The sad truth is that 17 million kids struggle with it. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers up surplus food and gets it to hungry kids. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
To help solve hunger in your community and to find your local food bank, visit feedingamerica.org, brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Greeny, weekdays at 10, right after The Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass on ESPN Pensacola 1330 AM 99.1 FM.
You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can find us on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. You can also find this episode of War Eagle Weekly and all previous ones on our podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. This show is brought to you by Cochin Four Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road right across the street from Five Flags Speedway. And Bill Clark, my co-host here, Bill and Austin Price here in the studio with you. And, Bill, when we left off, we were talking about Tennessee, kind of looking ahead to them. They're this weekend. Auburn hosting them, and I think hosting the Vols is going to be a huge difference maker here. I typically don't try to dumb these games down to just who's at home, but I think that will really help the Tigers take control.
Well, that and the fact that Auburn has the depth that they do. A lot of things that are being overlooked by people that aren't into the Auburn statistics. Nobody's really talked a whole lot about Auburn's backcourt and their depth.
Right.
I mean, just some of the figures. They've got 4 double-digit point-per-game scorers off the bench. All of their bench is shooting better than 44% from the floor. All of their bench is shooting better than 39% from 3 points. They have 4 players shooting better than 85% from the free throw line. They have 3 players that are averaging 2.5 assists per game or better.
Right. Good teamwork.
And all of the players are playing their defensive assignments. And they understand their defensive assignments, and they're playing it. There's no step off. There's no downgrade from rotating players in and out on the court. So that – And we talked about it a little bit earlier in the previous segment, the ability to field essentially 2 5-man starting squads is to me, that's what makes this team so much better than previous Auburn teams, and what makes them the number one team without the number one player being on the floor.
Right.
Yeah, your ability to do that, your those type of statistics are just unheard of outside of the Blue Bloods, you know, the Dukes and the North Carolinas. And
yeah, the teams, you know, that always have this kind of depth.
Yeah, UConn's, you know, when they have a number one team, that's the type of performance they get from their bench. Right. Auburn has that bench this year.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. That literally has, especially these last couple of games, that's been the difference.
Yeah, you've kind of had to spread those wings a little bit against
some of these
teams.
That's what Tennessee has to prepare for.
Yeah.
Now that they come to Auburn, they're coming to our arena with our fan base, which is having a fantastic year, obviously, and the arena is packed full hours before the game. They're gonna have to. I don't think Tennessee has that type of bench. They may have two or three players off their bench that can put up those kind of numbers.
Right.
But I don't think they have a five man squad that they can rotate back out there and do that.
I don't think any team has been as rotational with their lineup as Auburn has.
And that, you and I discussed it, and you kind of hinted a little bit previous segment about the vulnerability that Tennessee does have.
Yeah.
They were outscored embarrassingly so against Florida.
Yes.
And they've barely squeaked by the last, I think, three out of the five games that they've played.
Yeah, the problem with Tennessee, and as you said, this is what I hinted at before going to break, they are dreadful on the road. Going backwards here, so the most recent game is the one I'm going to say first. These are Tennessee's last four road games. They lost by one to Vanderbilt. They beat Texas by four, so that's one of those squeak buys you were talking about. They lost by 30 to Florida. If I remember correctly, that was like 73-43. As you said, Tennessee completely out of their element, shut down head to toe. And then the first of those four, they beat Illinois by two. So you're playing decent teams, and obviously Vandy, rivalry, Florida, great team. They're the best of the four. The problem is that tells me, okay, this isn't a fluke. This is a trend. You can't perform on the road. And if you're playing a team that's up there in those rankings with you and you're getting smeared into the hardwood, Auburn's not going to go easy on you. We talked about earlier, you don't know if Broome's coming back. So if he's back, and assuming he's not too rusty, and assuming he just goes full throttle, well, you may not be prepared for all that he's bringing to the table. So this is a deep team, tough place to play, may have their best player, may not. You're juggling that in your mind throughout this week. This is a terrible combination for the Volunteers to be on the trajectory they're on and to have to face all of that. Mentally, it's exhausting. I can't even imagine how it's actually going to be on the court.
Well, on the flip side of that, this could be the game that gets them motivated to put their wheels back on and perform like the team that they were at the beginning of the season.
That's true.
So Auburn's got to watch out for that. I think what we need to do, Auburn as a team needs to do, is not let them jump out to an early, you know, double-digit point lead and then play on your heels. They need to keep the defense aggressive like they have been. Right. And that was another thing that you and I have talked about more than once, is the aggressiveness of the Auburn defense, which also leads to foul trouble. They seem to have worked that out. They've kept the aggression level real high, and they've managed to filter out all the foul troubles that they've been finding themselves in. Having the depth that they do on their bench helps with that as well.
Right.
One guy gets into foul trouble, you're not putting a lesser performing player out there just because your guy's in foul trouble. But that's where Auburn needs to step up in this game early. Auburn needs to set the tone early in this game, whether Janiah Broome's on the court or not.
Right.
And I'm not talking about jumping out to a 10-4 lead or a 18-10 lead early.
Yeah.
I'm just saying
control the pace of the
game. Keep it within a score or two, or get it out there if you can, but just keep them out of their element. keep them, put them on their heels and make them stay there.
Right.
If Auburn can do that, then statistically that's the way this game should play itself out.
Yeah, and, you know, we were talking about – well, first of all, where are my manners? You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Bill Clark and Austin Price here in the studio with you. And yeah, we're talking about this Tennessee game here. Bill, I was telling you, Tennessee has so much mounting against them. I would also like to mention they are taking on a team that is obviously very difficult, but it's wedged between two other ranked opponents. We were talking about how this game could be difficult – Auburn with where Tennessee is on their schedule. Heck, Tennessee's having to come to y'all between Mississippi State and Kentucky. And when you look at how Auburn has been able to be very jarring for a lot of teams when they're at home, they're, man, I'm telling you, I'm talking like a fangirl over here, but Auburn is going to be in this team's head so hard, I think. As you said, you know, Tennessee's going to have to try to get some sort of momentum. They're going to be desperate for it in that kind of environment. They're going to try to take over early. If Auburn does that, that could set the tone for the rest of this game and really catch Tennessee at a bad time with where they are on their calendar.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, we've had this game circled for quite a while. It's not any less important because Tennessee's not number one now than it was before.
If anything, it's more personal because Tennessee was number one over y'all.
Well, now Tennessee has more to lose than they did when they were previously ranked number one.
That is absolutely true.
Because now every loss means so much more now that they've lost, especially like they did against Florida. They're going to have a lot to prove. This is going to be one of those games where they're going to try to do that.
Right.
Auburn's got to be prepared for it, and I'm sure they will. Bruce Pearl is a master at preparing his guys to play at the level that they need to in these games. That's shown itself from the ranked games we played non-conference to all the way into conference play. He's shown the ability to get the guys prepared. I mean, we were not competitive against Duke. We were competitive against Duke.
Only a 6-point loss.
We just came up a little short.
And that was at the Cam, right? That's
yeah,
the toughest
that was
to
at Duke, yeah. You know, other than that, you know, the team is playing at a super high level. The bench is playing at a high level. They're playing for each other. And I mean, even though a lot of them have real impressive, deep individual stats, I really don't feel like any of these players are playing selfish.
No, they're not.
They're passing the ball. They're taking the higher percentage stuff and versus the low percentage stuff, looking for their own points. And that's coaching.
And that's what was so phenomenal about the Georgia game. If you had people playing selfish, you don't win that game. You mentioned stats. Tennessee, and this is becoming an increasingly common trend in with just how deep the SEC is this year. They're another conference opponent that's been relatively impressive defensively. They've put up considerably more rebounds and steals this season than Auburn has. But luckily for Auburn, that is something we've discussed throughout this year, and it hasn't seemed to be a huge difference maker. You know, it seems like the biggest difference maker for Auburn right now is missing their star player. Who would have thought? But you're winning anyway. I don't think, especially if Broome returns, these are going to be game-changing stats for Tennessee. I think they're still going to be fighting an uphill battle.
Yeah, Auburn needs to improve. The thing coming off this Georgia game that I saw that Auburn needs to improve on is second chance points.
Right.
We allowed them to get quite a few defensive rebounds, and we didn't get any second chance looks, and I think that was kind of a product of not having Jani Broome under the basket. Cardwell can't do it all by himself. Chaney Johnson, as good as he's been playing and as good a athlete and a basketball player as he is not Jani Broome.
Yeah, and he didn't have his best game. That was just.
No.
And salt on the wound.
In spite of that, we were still able to outscore them. I think that's probably one of the things that the coaching staff is focusing a lot on this week in practice, getting ready for Tennessee, is on the offensive side of the court, improve with the second chance points. Get the offensive rebounds and try to make try to make it count. If they can get that just to improve just a little bit, I mean, we're talking, you know, somewhere between 12 to 18 points a game difference.
Right.
Just in second chance points, because we gave up a lot of second chance opportunities against Georgia.
10:47 here. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you. Bill, I want to touch very quickly on LSU, because that is the other game that comes up after the Vols. I think that is on, what is it, Wednesday? Mm-hmm. Yes, that is on Wednesday the 29th. That is your second game before we return. And I'm going to keep this very simple when it comes to LSU. We've talked about Tennessee. We've talked about how, hey, listen, big opponent, big implications, blah, blah, blah. I'm all for teams not overlooking opponents. I don't think you should overlook LSU, especially going on the road like what we discussed earlier. But I'm not on the court, so I'm going to overlook them now. LSU is sitting at 12-6 on the year. They're 1-4 in SEC play. They have lost four of their last five games, and their last three losses have been decided by double digits. I do not see a world, with all that Auburn has overcome, that you lose to LSU. The Bayou Bengals. Don't see it happening. I think you steamroll this team.
It could be another performance like we had against Mississippi State.
Right.
We just go in there and everything clicks, and you know the level of competition is just not the same. And that's kind of unusual, because LSU is usually one of the better programs in the conference. Mm. If I remember right, 2019, we had to beat LSU to win the SEC tournament. So, you know, that they're capable of putting a team out there.
Yeah, they're a decent program, not a blue blood, but a decent one.
Yeah, it's a matter of how hungry they are, you know. I mean, and speaking of being hungry, you know, saddle up to the bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30 at Coach and Four Steakhouse. Make sure you mention you heard it here.
Yeah. Tell them that War Eagle Weekly sent you, ESPN Pensacola. I am never not amazed when I've been doing radio for a while, but when you place those promos, it's pretty awesome. I also wanted to talk about this because you mentioned that LSU is just tricky, being, you know, having to go to their house with them being hungry, I guess, pun intended. There is a concern that you catch Auburn off guard, you know, especially if they ride high after this Tennessee win. Maybe. I just know that you're on a tough spot in their schedule as well. I think, LSU's got to take Auburn on after they face Texas A&M and Alabama. I think it comes after both of those opponents. I don't think you're between them. So they have to take on a ranked A&M, a ranked Alabama, then they got to take on Auburn. That's a pretty tough stretch. I don't know if they survive any of those games, much less the one against the number one team. So I think LSU, this is going to be a kick them while they're down game. And in our next segment, because we're going to go ahead and take our last break here, in our next segment, we'll talk about some score predictions. And you'll notice that I don't really take Jani Broome's availability into consideration for these. I think Auburn's got both of these opponents under control. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse and my co-host, Bill Clark.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash and the kids and I were on our own. We had to move out of the house because I couldn't afford it anymore.
That's awful, huh?
My brother was saying he got life insurance from Ethos. With Ethos, it only took 10 minutes and he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. It's all online, no medical exam. He just answered a few health questions right from his house.
Ethos, here we come.
Visit GetEthos.com. That's GetEthos.com.
Sample rate is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy, non-smoking male. Billed monthly.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
When you enter the world of autism, it can leave you feeling overwhelmed and alone. That's where Autism Pensacola comes in. We guide you through the maze of resources available to families affected by autism in the Gulf Coast area. We also offer programs like Kids for Camp, Sensory Street, Project Lifesaver, and opportunities for support and socializing. Call us at 850-434-7171 or visit autismpensacola.org. We're here for you so you will never feel alone again.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunities.
This is your official station for the best in college basketball, ESPN Pensacola.
You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse and my co-host Bill Clark. Clark and Austin Price here in the studio with you. 10:54. You know, before we get to our score predictions, as we always sign off with, I'll get your very quick thoughts, Bill, on the Ohio State-Notre Dame national title game. Ohio State won 34-23. Safe to say at times the game did not even feel that competitive. To me, my friend, Ohio State was just the greatest team in the country throughout the postseason, and it was not close.
Well, outside of the first 10 minutes of that game and the last 10 minutes of that game, Notre Dame was not competitive.
Yeah. 7-0 turned into 31-7.
Yeah. To me, the difference is, and Jordan Glass mentioned it in his program, Ohio State was peaking at the right time. Mm-hmm. They peaked at the end of the year. And I think a lot of that had to do with what happened in the Michigan game. They refocused. They decided, we're going to be a competitive playoff football team. Didn't win the conference.
Yeah.
But none of the Final Four teams were conference champions.
Right.
The 12-team playoff, in my opinion, turned into exactly what the people who designed it wanted it to be. Mm. It's obviously it has a lot to do about the revenue from the venues, but I think they got out of the 12-team playoff exactly what they were looking for, was one of the kind of sleeper teams coming out of the middle of the pack and winning the whole thing.
The national title was between the 7 and 8 officially.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The top four and the bottom four were gone.
Yeah.
And Ohio State picked exactly the right time in their football season to peak and play at their highest level. And that's what they did. I mean, I'm not an Ohio State fan. I'm not a Notre Dame fan.
If you don't love them, you typically hate them.
Before that game started, I was like, is there any way that they can possibly end up in a tie? but I didn't have a dog in that fight. But watching the way Ohio State played the last four games, especially against Tennessee and against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
They were clearly firing on all cylinders, and they looked the part of a national title program.
Yeah, they were better than everybody.
Yeah, so
that's
I don't.
Okay.
They deserve it. They are the national title, the national champions. They deserve it. They played like national champions the last five games of their season, and that's what the playoff is all about. You got to bring your A game to the playoffs, or you're not going to survive it. And they were, them and Notre Dame were the only two teams that literally had their A game the whole playoff. It's just Ohio State was just a little bit better than Notre Dame. And Ohio State did the same thing to Notre Dame that they did to the previous teams. They put them behind early.
Yeah.
And made them have to play from behind. And that was the changer. You know, they grabbed the momentum and they kept it.
And people want to sit here and say, well, Michigan beat Ohio State. If I'm an Ohio State fan, I don't care. I forget that yellow M even exists.
The only fans that matters to is the Michigan fans. And I know some Michigan fans, and they're still high.
Crutching that.
You know, to them, it's the same thing as with me as an Auburn fan.
Yeah.
You know, we could have a crappy season like the season we just had.
But if you beat Alabama.
If we beat Alabama, we can always go, well, at least we beat Alabama.
Right.
You know, and it does matter. It matters to you as a fan base because now you have something that you can grapple on to for
bragging
next
rights.
Year. Yes.
Right.
So I understand the Michigan-Ohio State thing, but Ohio State clearly was the best football team at the end of the football season, and they deserved the national championship that they just won.
And see, people try to put an asterisk next to it because they paid money for their roster. I don't know if you've been catching up on how college football is recently. You pay money for your players. That's how it works. It's not Ohio State's fault that they did the best with it.
Yeah, the only national championship team I know of in my memory that literally, obviously deserves an asterisk by their name is when USC won it when Reggie Bush was running back.
Mm.
You know, they clearly violated NCAA rules.
With a very impactful player. Yeah, I get that.
And that is, in my estimation, legitimately the only national title winner that it's justified to have an asterisk by their name.
Mm. All right. No, that's fair. All right. Already 10:59. We'll go ahead and crank out these scores. Man, I've got Auburn beating Tennessee 81-69. Got to be in a double-digit win. I got them skunking LSU 85-63.
I like both of those predictions.
You're like, you're speaking my language, bud.
Now, I wasn't here last week. I did not like your Georgia prediction, but I do like those two predictions.
I think you skunk both of these teams. Tennessee, you know, beating them by 12 would be huge, but I think you roll right over LSU. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you. We'll see you next week. Be safe out there in the snow that we got.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.